Hey guys, welcome to the Welding Business Owners Podcast, where our podcasts are late, but our bids are in time. I'm your host, Kevin, with JMW Fabrication. In today's episode, we talk about the workflow of his everyday, day-to-day stuff in the shop, and how he grew from a one-person shop to the 40-something guys he has now. We also talk about how he keeps his books organized and the step-by-step process in his bidding process. So, whether you're a one-man shop or you want to get big like Chad, I'm sure you're going to be able to get something from this episode. If you haven't checked him out, find him on Instagram at TakeTech, find us at Welding Business Owners Podcast, and enjoy the show.
100%. So I agree with you. Like, I don't move until that shop drawing is signed. Because I've lost so much money with, okay, so just last week this happened. This guy that hauled a bunch of dirt into my storage facility, he was the trucker. He's building a brand new, beautiful house. He owns a trucking company. It's like, hey, you know, I want you to do this for me. And he's like, well, just knock it off your bill. And here I'm like, oh, trade? Okay, great. Sounds good, right? But it's a house. It's a residential. I'm like, man, where I'm at anymore, I despise some of the residential work. So I do it. And sure enough, my phone rings at 7:30 that night. And I did the install because all my guys were out of town. So I grabbed two shop guys. We loaded it up. We went over there. We installed, I don't even know, I'm going to guess 60 feet of cable railing and 4 stair grab rails in like 2 hours. Done. Walked out of it. Wife came out. She was super stoked. So 7:30 that night, guy calls me and I'm like, oh, I'm sure he's stoked. So I answer the phone. And he's like, hey, Chad, everything looks really good, but you didn't do the back how I wanted it. I'm like, what do you mean, Dan? I'm like, you said you wanted a cable rail back there also. He's like, no, I just wanted a couple grab rails going up the steps. I'm like, shit. You know, and same thing. No drawing, no nothing. And that's also what sucks. So, like, this doesn't happen on my big jobs, right? It's like, okay, there's 15 of these buildings. Every building's the same. We draw one building and we cookie cutter it, you know? So, he really liked everything that we had done, but he had told me rail. I'm thinking guardrail because it's more than 30 inches off the ground and required, you know, he's wanting handrails for the steps. So I think you're good. I would continue that. And as you get bigger, you don't move until that estimate is signed or the contract is signed, shop drawing is signed, whatever it is. But you were talking about, how do I scale? Man, I've lost so much money not dotting my I's and crossing my T's and taking the time initially to be set up. But anymore, I don't move until that's done. Mm-hmm. And just still, I still, like last week, I compromised my own policies and I did the work without, you know, getting everything dialed in. And sure enough, it wasn't what the client expected. So I got to make a couple stair grab rails. Not the end of the world. But if I can, any of your listeners, man, like you said, systems and processes, I typically do not pivot until, you know, everything, I's are dotted and T's are crossed. And, you know, when we first started to really scale, I told people, we're great at the work. We suck at paperwork. And I guarantee you 95% of your listeners are going to be the same way. So if you get better at those things, it makes it easier to scale the business because you'll carry those I dots and T crosses into everything you do, whether it's material ordering, drawings and cut sheets, final billing, right? How many times do we go months and not bill somebody? I guarantee that happens also, just because you get busy.
Yep.
You're laughing because it's true.
It's so true. I have customers like, hey man, I didn't see a bill for that. Did you send that? And I look back in my QuickBooks. I'm like, no, I didn't. Yep. I'm sorry. I completely forgot. Cause it's one of those things like, hey, I need you out here today to weld this. And I made it happen and we got there and we knocked it out. But the paperwork follow up, like, yeah, totally forgot about that, dude. Sorry. You know?
Yeah. Well, and so that's something I did too. And that's what's really helped our business is I have all of this automated now with software.
Mm.
And it's something that I am looking into developing and mass producing. So that is, That's my next gig. So I had software made. We've been building it. We build it every week still. I changed something for probably 8 years. And this was actually the hire of my first project manager. So, and everything, all the business growth comes from a need. So our thing is, and I don't think I've told you this yet, but every time there's a problem, it's like, okay, what are we going to do to fix this problem? But I don't stop there. I go, now what are we going to do to where we don't have to deal with this problem ever again? Yes. And that's our policy for everything. Mm. Here's a problem. What are we going to do to fix it? Now we don't stop at that. What are we going to do to where we don't have to deal with this problem ever again? And so, like, even on our Monday morning meetings, I call out Johnny. I'm like, hey, Johnny screwed this up last week. And it's not to pick on Johnny. Hopefully Johnny's not sensitive because I'm going to call him out. But if he if I see him on the top rung of the ladder, I'm going to call him out. But I do that because I need everybody else at that meeting to learn from it. So I don't have to have that meeting with Bobby next week and Timmy the week after. So I bring everybody together. And that's how I solve those issues. Like, all right, here's this issue. What are we going to do so we have to deal with it again? And I kept, you know, you figure out like, oh man, I just had the safety meeting, but so-and-so wasn't part of it. So we're working on that now as a software. So this software is freaking amazing. So 8 years ago, are you familiar with T-Sheets at all?
I'm not.
So T-Sheets is a time tracker for employees. So they clock in and they clock out on T-Sheets. So I tried it. I was like, gosh, this kind of sucks. It wasn't giving me enough data. So I called a friend of mine who knew how to build web pages on a small scale. I said, hey, do you think you can make me an app where my guys can clock in and clock out on their phones? So I know how much time, because my wife was literally spending, I don't even know, 3 days every 2 weeks going through time cards. Right, you're laughing. Same thing. Your wife's doing it too, isn't she?
Dude, it was our argument. It wasn't an argument, but it was last week, man. Like, she's like, we're changing. So we use Deputy. She's like, we're going to start using QuickBooks for logging in because I don't care. And it's more expensive, but it's easier on me. And blah. So, dude, you are speaking my language, right? You are speaking my last week to me right now. So go ahead.
All right. So I'm going to tell you what we did, and I'm going to tell you where I'm going to go with this, because I'm hoping 12 to 18 months, I can have this available for everybody. Okay. So what it is, I hired a friend of mine who builds web pages. I'm like, hey, can you set this up to where they clock in, clock out? Yeah, no problem. Give me a couple weeks. So a couple weeks later, I meet with him, shows me it. I'm like, yeah, this is cool. Is there any way I can tell what job they're on? He's like, no, but we can make it to where they can input the job. So sure enough, he makes it a couple weeks later. We meet. Can you input the job? So we're going over this in my office and the phone rings. I'm like, hey, Randy, will you answer that? Sure. He answers it, does a really good job with the client. I'm like, why don't we just build this? We'll set you up a computer here. You can just build this here. You can answer the phone and help me out a little bit. Yeah, no problem. So Randy, I hire Randy and my lead assistant. Now I have a second assistant. But ever since then, he's been building the site. So now what it is, and dude, this is the ultimate, and not just for welders, but for everybody. Here's the way the whole system works. Somebody calls the office. We literally send them, we get their name and their phone number and their email, and we send them a link to fill out the information page. Basically, and on that page is their contact name, their husband's name, wife's name, whatever, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever their, you know, gender crap is nowadays. They fill that out. They put in their gate code in case they have a gate we need to get through it, and what they're looking for. Then that thing pops up on my computer. We send out another email like, hey, thanks for reaching out. Let's set up a time to meet and go over your job. And then we're able to then meet with them. We upload the information to that job. We are then able to create an estimate, which then estimate turns on the job. The guys can clock in and clock out on it. We upload our material to that job and make orders. Once the job is completed, we invoice through that job. And then the job tells me at the end, if we made money, if we lost money, how many hours were involved in the cutting, fabbing, coding, installing. And it also then runs my accounts receivable. It's freaking amazing.
Nice.
It's nuts. And I've been building it for 8 years. The problem is that it works for me. I'm looking for a guy right now. And I actually met with one a couple months ago I need somebody to build this and commercialize it, basically. But dude, people have asked how I've scaled. And that's the only way to do it is with this software now. And nothing out there that I knew of exists. If there is something, I won't move forward with it, but I haven't seen anything or heard anything. So it's really cool. So now, like, even our big jobs, the guys go through the plans, they break down all the plans and run all the components for me. I can literally be at a $2 million job in 2 hours. No joke. So the guys take the plans. I don't even crack the plans, and they pull out all the pieces, you know, this rail on this building and this stair on this building, and they break it all down, and I just go through and start running numbers, and it's all in there for me. So I click on the picture. It pulls up the picture of the rail I need to do. I look at the details and I go, yeah, this rail needs to cost this much. And I'm basing that on the job that I looked back on that was very similar to that job. And I double check our hours. If we made money, if we, you know, if I need to make adjustments, and sometimes, oh yeah, we cut a fat hog, I'm going to lower my price on this. Or, oh yeah, we lost a little bit, I'm going to creep the price up a little bit, or material adjustment. That's been the number one to scale. And then also just keeping the right people and making sure that those good people, those people who are, like, you know, are doing a really good job, just making sure they're taken care of. And that, like I said, that doesn't always mean money. Sometimes that's, hey, you know, why don't we knock off at lunch today and you guys can clock out at, you know, your normal time. Or, you know, a lot of times I like to, like, barbecue for the guys, you know, we'll freaking throw some hot dogs or hamburgers on the grill or just little things. Right. But yeah, it's a ride, man, but it's freaking cool. I love every bit of it, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah,
so
the software thing and the time is huge.
I was talking to, so I think that is one of our bottlenecks right now. So right now we're doing all of that by hand. So we're taking it from, you know, time from this timekeeping software and putting it over into QuickBooks. And then I'm doing my estimates on, like, I still have, like, tablets of paper where I do my estimates on, and it's there. Yep. I have two of them, and they're only for estimates. And I write on my little notes and jot things down. And then I write up an official estimate. And then you send me out deposits. And, you know, we have our own making up work orders for the shop is all manual. And I, you know, I was talking to another, he owns a painting business, and he just switched to a project management software, and he loved it. He's like, man, there's so much out there. And I really think that is one of our next investments, is we have the processes, we just need to put it under one roof. And man, I have this vision of being able to, like, take a picture and basically draw out a railing in the picture and show the customer what it's going to look like right there. And then those are our shop drawings. Somehow make that, you know, select what picket style they want, what top rail, what post they want, and just, you know, it's automatically uploaded, and then you can and it'll almost turn itself into shop drawings, which, oh my gosh, at that point I could just sit back and not do anything, just send other people out to do it, you know what I mean? That will never happen, but it's a dream. So that's awesome, man. I'm really interested in seeing, I mean, if you want to share, you know, I would love to see your software, and that's so cool that you built it in-house, man.
Yeah, it truly is amazing. And I know I'm sitting on a $1 billion product. I really am. And, but I'm still tweaking things. So I know that, and I'm getting close to the end, because now the things I'm tweaking are nitpicky little things. I don't know how it could be better. Cause like I said, we've been building it for a long time. I built it in-house, and I met a guy at the gym. He's a software developer. He was from Australia. That's where his company is. And he just happened to be here on holiday, as they call it. I think we call it vacation, but, he says that that's what they do. So I'm kind of excited to talk to him. It's a big nut to crack. It's going to be expensive for me to get it there. But I know that's a struggle that a lot of you guys and all of us starting out, you know, deal with. And this just, like you said, puts it under one roof to where it's freaking amazing. And I can't wait to get it out there. Not only make a little bit of money, but dude, it's going to help everybody.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so if you want to do an hour one day, I could have my IT guy just set it up to where I could like screen share, you know, and
yeah,
your listeners could jump on that way. I'm not sure how you'd set it up, but like I said, I don't do computers really well. I have the guys that help me with that. And it was even hard for me to get on the Zoom call this morning from my cell phone. You know, and that's one thing, you know, I know my strengths and my weaknesses. Like I will put my head down and try to figure something out with metal all day long. But it interests me, but to like learn computers and anything that has to do with a computer, I have zero interest. So I'm like, dude, here, just handle this. And they're like, oh, it's so easy. And it's a, you know, and I'm like, I don't even care to learn. Just do it when I need it and we'll move on, you know,
let people do what they're good at.
But that's the other. Exactly. And it's funny because my boots are as dirty as like the lowest man on my totem pole. And I have guys in the office who've never touched a piece of steel, you know, but that's what they're good at. So, and people think I'm in the office. I'm not. I see every email that goes through, but I would much rather be out helping my guys in the shop make things faster, a little smoother, safer. So I jump out there and I look at our processes and fabrication, and I let the office handle, you know, what are they going to do to make things a little smoother in there? And I tell them, I go, hey, here's what I need. And they go, okay, let us figure this out. Right. So, and it frustrates them sometimes, especially on the software development side. They're thinking they're getting close to done, and I go and throw a wrench in their motor, you know. So and retweak things, and I want different data, you know. Like I can, like these jobs we're doing, I kid you not, they're sometimes millions of dollars just in the metal scope. And it's really cool because I can look back and check our profits at any given point, see if I'm making money at what stage, when the job is done and retention's paid. You know, I break it all down and I find out. I actually recently just fired one of the biggest developers in California. And what I mean by fired is I won't work for them anymore. Mm. And they just, their superintendents were not ran well. We just, it was really difficult to turn a profit with them. And so I was like, hey, I'm out. So then what I did, same thing, super uncomfortable. And I don't know why people don't do this. And it is, even for me, it's uncomfortable. My installers ran into it. There's another company, a heating and air company right down the street from us. I don't know them from Adam. I just, you know, we know of them because we drive by their shop every day. But I guess my guys were in the same hotel out of town. And so they were talking to them and they do the same type of work we do. So when I was looking to fire this developer, you know, just find somebody better, I went down and knocked on that guy's door. I didn't knock on his door, but I mean, I called him. And then went down and met him. And I was like, hey, I want to swap contacts because I know you're doing the same type of work that we're doing. I said, I would love to just, I'll hook you up with my best contract if you'll like do the same for me. He's like, you know what? My contract keeps me super busy. I'm not looking to get anywhere else, but I'm happy. I hear you guys do really good work. I'm happy to open the door for you. Boom, done. I filled that spot. And that's sure awesome. Enough, we have two projects with that developer going right now. And that was 4 months ago. And we're already starting work with. And same thing. That's what's hard. You have to have an in with some of these guys because it's not like, oh, you have this beautiful Instagram page. They're going to call you. When you get into the big stuff, those guys aren't looking on Instagram for their next sub. And same thing. They want the service. They want to know. They don't care. They want to know that when they sign that contract with you, they don't have to look back, and they can move forward. And if you do that, you keep their job easy to where they look good to their bosses, and then the bean counters look good. Dude, it's a win-win and you can't get out. So guys, I was going to say the same thing with Mrs. Smith, right? Like I said before, back in 2005, I literally had these women saying, I really like what you did for her, but I want mine better. So, you know, it's, and that's what I'm saying. I'm no different with 40 guys now. It's the same game.
Yeah. That kind of leads into the next question of when you first started out, how did you get into the like quote unquote big leagues?
I'll tell you
jobs? Exactly
what happened.
Okay.
Yep. I'll tell you what happened. So this was 2012. Doing driveway gate for a guy. This guy called me. Dude's rad, super humble. He's like, hey Chad, this is Troy. He's like, I just bought a piece of property. I'd like you to come and do some gates for me. And he's talking to me like I knew exactly who he was, but in all honesty, I did not know who the hell Troy was. So, but we obviously knew each other. But just on the phone, he's like, this is Troy, and I'm supposed to know who he is, and I didn't know who he was. So I'm like, sure, Troy, I'm happy to. Why don't you come by the shop, and we'll start a design? Okay, that's good. So we set a time. Troy walks in, and then, okay, I recognize Troy. Well, all I remember about Troy is he had a shop by mine a couple years before, and all he did was stare at plans all day long. And no guys in there. It was like a smaller shop. It was when I was like first starting. I think these shops were about 1,000 square feet each. He had one. I had one right across the way from him. I remember in his shop, he had his boat stored in there, and he had this like framed up wood table, and he stared at plants all day long. So I still didn't know what Troy did. So we do this job for Troy. This piece of property required 2 driveway gates, motors, the works. And that was kind of our niche for a long time. We were really good at that. We were good at that because of the same thing you said earlier. We serviced them, and people love that. Driveway gates are my nemesis because they're never done and there's always issues. But, and it's not necessarily the gate doesn't break, it's freaking motors, right? You just have to nurse those damn things. So we do this job for Troy, and Troy's like, hey, you know, I'd really like you to look at what we're doing and, you know, and bid these jobs. I'm like, Troy, it's over my head. And, he's like, well, you've done commercial stairs. I said, yeah, I've done a few. He's like, that's all this is. It's just a lot more of them. And he's like, nah, Troy, really, it's over my head. So he talks me into bidding this job, and it's 4 hours from where we live, which didn't really bother me. But what bothered me was at this time, it was $162,000. And I'd done a commercial job that big. I did a local police department. But this was new. So I'm nervous, right? And you know, I know there's some guys out there who go and do these jobs and they don't think twice about it. But for me, everything is very calculated, and I make very educated decisions. I do lots of research, and I was worried about this. So this will crack everybody up. We leave our town. We load that morning. It was a Monday morning. Me and 3 other guys. It's my lead at the time and a couple helpers and myself. We load up. We drive. We show up on the job site at 1:30 p.m. Superintendent walks out. You effing said you'd effing have this effing done today. All you effing metal workers are all the effing same. Blah, blah, blah. Freaking turns around and goes back in the job trailer. I'm like, shit. welcome to the big leagues. So I'm like, oh, well, let's just get it done, guys. So we stay at the job site. These job sites are basically 7 to 3:30, like our shop, right? Everybody disappears at 3:30. But, dude, we're out of town. We're not going to go sit in the hotel room. We're just going to get shit done. So we stayed. At this time, it got dark about 7:30 at night, kind of clean things up. And then the job site would typically open back up at 7. So we get there about 5:30 the next morning, start sweeping, buttoning up a few things on this one staircase. Superintendent shows up right before 7, comes back out. I can't believe you effing got this effing done. He's like, I've never had an effing metal company effing show up and not have to take something back to fix it. So, yeah, this was my first experience on this type of work, right? And so everybody knows they're apartment complexes. That's what we focus on now. And doesn't mean that this is what everybody does. I mean, this type of work is in everything, whether it's, you know, could be subdivisions for housing, could be commercial work. It's just, we just started playing with the big boys on this stuff. And so, but from then on, that particular superintendent a year later moved to the top of his company, was running all the other superintendents, and he loved us because we got in there and same thing with service. We got our shit done. And he was impressed by that. And he, like he said, he's never had somebody bring something out that didn't have to go back. So, and that helps a lot too with paint. We put in a finished product, and that's what they like too. They're not having to have their painter come back and paint it all, right? So we're doing it with the finished product. We took the time, it fit perfectly. And then halfway through this project, this company that I recently fired, who's like the big, big players in this state, called me and we had a job with them. So I'm excited, didn't go well. You know, fast forward 6 years, I fire them. 8 years, however long it's been, I'm not sure. But at that time I was like, dang, these are it. These are who we want in with. And now this is all the type of work we do. But like I said, that service thing, it goes through everybody. And I can tell you, every small job I've done or all of the big jobs I've done all start with a small one. We work for a local casino, and really I would love to just do this type of work. We built them a sculpture. This was back at the same time, 2012 area. But we got in with them because this guy called me. And at the time, we were fencing a lot of pools because in California, all the pools have to be fenced all the way around before they're able to plaster them and fill them with water. So this guy calls and he already had a fence, but the pool company had to take out a section so they can get a tractor back there. And he's like, I really need this in. I need inspection tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, crap. I guess I can go do it once the guys leave. So 2010, 2011, guys go home for the day. I load up in the service truck and I go put this guy's fence panel in. Well, he's super stoked. Turns out his son-in-law is head of construction at the local casino. So he tells his son-in-law is really stoked that I helped out his father-in-law and gives me the plans to this freaking sculpture. And we get to build this. It ended up being like a $250,000 sculpture. Nice. Right? But it's all the little things that you do to impress people that open doors to the bigger stuff later on.
Yep.
I mean, 100%. It just works. So I don't remember what your question was. I hope I answered it.
Well, it,
no, I went off on a tangent.
No. I think you did. I think you gave the principle more than an actual concrete thing. You know, I get a lot of questions about, you know, I'm a one man shop or I'm looking to leave my job and I'm doing it on the side. How do I get work? And then I get people asking, you know, I have a couple guys, but it's like me and one other guy, and I really want to start getting into the bigger jobs. How do I do that? And I think you kind of answered that where it's about the little things. It's about the service because good news travels. It travels well. I mean, bad news travels faster than good news, but you also need that good news out there too.
100%. You know, and it is. And so like you're getting these guys who are asking, and those are hard questions for me because all of those little things that I did when I was slow and I wanted to grow and wanted to carry on, everything hard and uncomfortable just sets you up for the next task.
Well, thanks for listening to the episode, guys. I appreciate it. I hope you guys got as much out of it as I did. Check back in 2 weeks for another episode, the fourth and final episode with Chad from Tic Tac. If you haven't seen his work, go check him out on Instagram at Tic Tac. Find us at Welding Business Owners Podcast. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.